2FM with Green Farm. Fuel your day with Green Farm's new high-protein cooked chicken breast fillets. 100% natural and packed with flavour.
Thanks to Jenny Green for getting the week underway. It's Monday, the 13th of September, and this is Game On. Coming up today, the winners are with us as Tyrone's Matty Donnelly and Galway's Katrina Cormacan discuss their All-Ireland success.
Orla McGrath and Galway are within touching distance of the All-Ireland title now. Cork have gone short with the puck out and it's over. Galway have taken the honours in Croke Park. It's just the fourth time in Camogie history that the women from the West have claimed the O'Duffy Cup.
To lose their county to the All-Ireland, and there is the whistle. Tyrone are All-Ireland senior champions for the fourth time. Fergal Logan and Brian Duhan, in their first year in charge, will take Sam Maguire back to Tyrone.
Alan Colley and Stephen Kelly will review the weekend's football. There's only one place to start.
Shaw finding Cristiano Ronaldo. Ronaldo! That's the dream! A goal in front of the stripping end! We are in the presence of goal-scoring greatness!
Plus, we'll keep you updated on the Irish women's ongoing Rugby World Cup qualifier and the rest of the day's sports news.
Game on 2FM.
If you want to get in touch, you can do so by texting us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM. So there is an awful lot of sport going on right now. Ireland's Rugby World Cup qualifier, as we mentioned at the top of the show, is underway. It's halftime now in Italy. Ireland are taking on Spain and the score is Ireland 7, Spain 3, with Bavin Parsons getting that try. A huge, huge week and a half in store for this Ireland women's rugby team as they bid to qualify for the Rugby World Cup. Ruby is also with me. He had a few technical difficulties, but he's back.
My internet just dropped out there for me for some reason. I couldn't tell you why. The second half is just kicking off, though, in Spain. So the both teams have come back onto the pitch. Italy, is that where it's on, is
Parma.
It? Looks beautiful, anyway.
It does.
Parma. Never in Parma, Marino.
Never. Not yet, anyway.
Well, why not give it a go? Anyway, this is about to kick off in the second half there. 7-3-2 Ireland, as you quite rightly said. Also, loads of other news, sporting news today, Maria. I suppose, was it really a surprise that Shane Lowry got picked for the Ryder Cup team?
Ruby, really, you tell us, was it a surprise? You played with him last week.
No, I don't think it was, actually, to tell you the truth. Didn't surprise me when he was picked, anyway. But Padraig Harrington, was he really going to be able to come home to Ireland had he picked Justin Rose instead of Shane Lowry?
He said in fairness that it was a really hard decision to make because Shane was his friend and he knew that everybody was going to be scrutinising him in a major way, so he had to lean on his vice captains just to make sure that he was making the right decision, and as soon as he got encouragement from them he was fully confident in his decision to pick Shane. But look, you know Shane, as I said, you played with him last week. I imagine that having somebody like him, the personality that he has, even the GAA background that he has, like the team ethic and connection that he would have, that he'd just be a brilliant teammate.
I just thought the same, and I think I'm sure all golfers would be the same, though, but even talking to him last week, he was really looking forward to it. He was hoping to play his way into Padraig's team and therefore give his captain the chance to pick somebody else. That didn't happen. He got the pick, but I'd say he can't wait. He's really excited about it, and I wish him all the best. I just kept slagging him. I mean, he's going to have to go and get at least 4.5, if not 5, and you look what Leona Maguire did in the Solheim Cup, so that was the pressure I put on him.
You're playing in a pro-am with him and you're slagging him, even though he's a way better golfer than you, obviously. So he would have
If you're as bad at golf as me, Marie, the only thing you really can do is start with the slagging because it's not going to be a golfing conversation.
So you're so bad, he can't even slag you?
It's beyond slagging. We just kept moving on.
Lots of racing news as well, Ruby.
Yeah, it was a good big weekend, Marie. St. Mark's Basilica, obviously, was a worthy win in favour of the Champion Stakes on Saturday afternoon when he beat Tarnawa and Poetic Flair. Not without controversy. St. Mark's Basilica did drift all the way across the track in Leopardstown and carried Tarnawa outside him. Ryan Moore knew exactly what he was doing. It was, I suppose, Racing's version of a cynical foul. He got suspended for careless riding, but he had Poetic Flair covered on his left, and he made sure the one coming on his right had to go the long way to get around him. That's good riding. No Speak Alexander, massive weekend for Jessica Harrington and Shane Foley. They also won the Meigler Stakes with Discoveries, but that wasn't without controversy either. No Speak Alexander drifted to her left and knocked down Mother Art. Pearls Galore finished second, but Shane Foley got a 5-day ban for that one for careless riding. Definitely the riding was of a higher standard, or a lot cleaner anyway, on Sunday afternoon. Big win for Eddie Lynham with Romantic Proposal in the Flying Five. And I thought Eddie Lynham's statement after the race was a classic. Marie, Chris Hayes had run into all sorts of trouble on Romantic Proposal on their last start, and Eddie Lynham just kind of brushed it away by saying mistakes. He said they put rubbers on top of pencils because everybody makes mistakes. I thought it was a great line. Yeah. Classic.
You're going to use that line a lot now, I have a sense.
Yeah,
making
I just thought it was an easy one. The National Stakes went for Export Native Trail, won it for Charlie Appleby and William Buick, beat Point Lonsdale of Aidan O'Brien's. And obviously in the Saint Ledger, we had Johnny Murta on here a couple of weeks ago talking about Ben Cohen after Sonny Boy Liston had won the Ebor. He went and won the Saint Ledger, great ride again from Ben. But yeah, it was all in all, it was plenty of good racing. Obviously Ger Lyons had four winners on Saturday afternoon. Colin Keane rode a treble, but Jessica Harrington and Shane Foley had three each there as well before having another one at the Curragh on Sunday. So great crowds, great atmosphere, some really good racing, and all in all a success really.
Right, well, you can't ask for anything more than that. And just a word on Altior as well, before we came on air, it was announced that he has been retired.
Yeah, he has. Probably not a shock either. I mean, he was on the decline, and I guess they were trying to get him out as close to the top as they could. I mean, he ran 26 times in his career, he won 21 races. He was second, I think, on six occasions. Just finished out of the first two on only the once. Won £1.3 million sterling in prize money. He was an incredible horse, June winner of the Champion Chase. He'll be a loss to Nicky Henderson, seven Burrows Yard, but they also have Shishkin coming through as a ready replacement for him. So the best of luck to Altior in his retirement.
Very good. Okay, well, as we said, it was a huge weekend of sport. There was so much going on. And on Saturday, the All-Ireland football final took centre stage. I'm delighted now to say that we are joined on the line by Tyrone's Matty Donnelly. Matty, congratulations. Has it sunk in yet?
Hey, Marie. It's definitely in the process of sinking in. There's been a few moments since the final whistle on Saturday. It's just been special, and it has hit home. And they've been quite emotional for a lot of us boys here, but I don't think it'll truly sink in until Christmas probably, but there's definitely been some moments where it's hit home, and it's been something special.
Matty, you've had lots of days in Croke Park where you've been the team heading back up the road, having lost in All-Ireland, between 2013, 15, 17, 18, 19. I think people forget just how close Tyrone have been going for a long time. It must be sweet to be heading back north with the Sam Maguire.
It's so sweet, and you're right. I know there is an art out there, and rightly so. Like Mayo were at the top, and they were so close a lot of times, but just on their coattails probably was the likes of ourselves in terms of consistency since we came in. You know, you've always been around the semi-final mark, got to the final obviously in 18, but we've always thought ourselves very close and just chomping at the heels of the pack ahead of us. And I suppose throughout all of that there was just a complete devotion / just a real, real strong belief, firm belief that we would do it at some stage, and just that persistence would pay off, and it did. And I suppose just to see the boys that were on the wrong side of those defeats, like every man, I suppose those moments since Saturday when you look at those boys that have been through that, like you see what they went through, to see that vindicated on Saturday from them boys has just been unbelievable to watch.
Matty, it's been a remarkable season, really, like from the outset. And when you think of where you came from at the start of the season, I'd say there's very few people who put your names on the Sam Maguire. And you did it the hard way. You came through such a tough Ulster Championship. I saw you up that day against Donegal and thought you were so impressive. And then obviously Kerry and Mayo, like you had some brilliant performances. For you, what was the key one? Like, what was the standout one when you think of all those big teams that you took down along the way?
I suppose you go back to Killarney. A lot of people go back to Killarney, but you know, that was probably rock bottom in terms of a thrown performance where we conceded 6 goals and were, like, I'll not speak too much about that performance, but it was probably reflection time for a lot of us and a lot of the team. And if that
it's
didn't
a good place to start when you've hit rock bottom. I mean, you're at basement. It's a good place to be starting. Exactly. You're trying to progress somewhere.
And Matty, as well, when you think about it, like, I laid out some of the games there that you won, and for you, you went to the one that you lost, which probably tells us all we need to know about the mentality that you had in this championship.
Yeah, I say all of those experiences harden the team, and they really tighten the team. You can go one or two ways. You know, you can be fractured after them. You can maybe self-deflect, but this group of boys aren't about that, and we've learned that over the years, that the best place to start is just reviewing ourselves, knuckling down. And I think that's probably part of our identity now as a Tyrone team, is that we are a tough and hardened team, and we're tough on each other, but there's just complete respect for each other as well. And I think that came to the surface, you know, because we stuck together through those moments and through Killarney. You know, there wasn't maybe, look, we're in this together, we respect each other, and we're going to claw this back. And I think every game then we start to get better and gain momentum. And as I say, a lot of us have won on Ireland. We had just a firm belief. We devoted our life to winning on Ireland. We knew it was going to happen sometime, and the closer we got, like, why not now? And I didn't pull it came this year.
Does it ever bother you that some of the narrative is always against the teams that you played, what they did wrong rather than what you did right? You look at the Donegal game, Michael Murphy was sent off. You look at the Kerry game, they should have taken their shots from outside the 35. It always seems to be what the others did wrong rather than what you did right.
It doesn't bother me in the slightest. All I've been really focused about is sharing the experience with the boys that I know have given so much to it, and enjoying it with them. We don't really pass much heat to outside remarks. All right, you do get fuel from them sometimes, but on the flip side, you know, usually when you win an All-Ireland, you think you're performing to your absolute, you know, the pin of your collar and at optimum levels. The thing about this side is we're well aware that whilst our effort and endeavour is at 100%, there's so much stuff tactically that we can improve on, and that's what we'd be looking at now, is to start tapping into that. And that's really all we'll be focused on.
There'll be lots of counties who won't want to hear that, but no doubt that is something that you're going to do. Matty, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you've dedicated your life to winning All-Ireland, and I've been following your career for a while now, and I'm a little bit aware of some of the lengths that you've gone to, but from what I can gather, you know, I know that you took up jiu-jitsu for a while, that you're constantly in the gym working on your game, you know, just even taking a break for a little while to build up your strength. Can you tell us just a little bit about how much you've done over the last decade, really, when you think about it, Matty, to get to where you are today?
Look, no different. I haven't really got a chance to self-reflect on my own journey. What I've been enjoying most is just seeing other boys fulfill their potential the last few days, because I know their stories. But, like, when you do sit back, the sacrifices you've had to make, you know, I know firsthand, like, you know, friendships, relationships, everything. You miss weddings, you miss really key events in your friends' circles. You put all that on hold just to devote yourself to what unfolded on Saturday. And, like, our family, as you might have gotten insight previously, is a strong Tyrone, a strong family, and Tyrone has always been a massive part of our lives. But until you think you know what Tyrone football is about, but after Saturday, I've just seen blown away by, you know, going to Oma, going to East Tyrone, yeah, seeing Clyde, seeing what it means to everyone, seeing it means to your friend, your best friends, like your brothers, seeing what it means to them has just vindicated every single sacrifice you've ever made. And, like, we had chatting with Padraig Hampson just after leaving there a while ago, and I'd say, like, we're nearly in tears since the final whistle on Saturday, even talking about stuff, like, and just to say, nobody sees that stuff. Nobody sees, you know, the boys like Kieran McGarry after the Kerry game in 19 in bits, Darren McCurry and them boys, what they've been through after games, just in bits. The only people that pick those pieces up is the teammates and their close family and the girlfriends and the wives. They pick it up. So to see all the them boys share the last few days with those people, has just been smashing, and as I said, just vindicate every sacrifice we've ever made.
I was up in your house a few years back for an interview, and I always remember your mom opening the fridge, and she was telling me, like, there's actually nothing bad in the fridge. So I was there asking her, like, what if she wants a piece of chocolate? What does she do? So the thing was that there was nothing bad in the fridge, so that none of you would even have the temptation of eating something that you weren't supposed to. And it always stuck with me. It must have been really special for your mum and dad, and having Richie there as well, Matty.
Look, I'd say the environment we've had it or been given at home from our parents has been amazing. And, like, everything has been put in place for us to enable us to try and fulfil what we always wanted to do, which is play for Tyrone, and then obviously achieve what we did on Saturday. And there's never any barriers put in place. There's barriers, they go over high hell waters just to remove those barriers for us. And it's so grateful, and it's something that I'd be very proud of as well, is the Tyrone team. Even since the final whistle on Saturday, you know, we had our banquet, we had our home gathering. Every single man, some of their marks come back, has been how grounded the boys are, and how, you know, well they've took time for the young ones, young and old, and how well they've applied themselves. And that gives me a lot of pride as well. But it is a remark that is indebted to their families too, because they do come from great families. And as the father said earlier, it's like, a night to breeding is worth a ton of feeding, so regardless of what's in the fridge, it's how you're brought up as well. And I think that's really something that makes a squad special as well, is how they've come into that squad.
Obviously it is Brian Duer and Fergal Logan now, but when you look at that Tyrone squad, it had to be built by someone, and you have referenced Mickey Hart and the work he did gone by and the foundations he put in. Is that basically what Brian Duer and Fergal Logan are bringing to fruition now?
Yeah, look, a lot of the information was there. A lot of what it meant to play for Tyrone, that passion, you know, all of the hard lessons, the information was there from Mickey and Harsh. And obviously, the guys brought in a fresh approach, added new ideas around that. But at the core of it all was just the intentions for Tyrone. They're just such passionate Tyrone men. You know, they have a lot in common in that regard. There's a real jolt of energy, I suppose, to just push us over the line. Like, as you said earlier, we were close, and I was under Mickey and Gavin Devon, who deserves massive mention as well, what he's done for Tyrone. Them boys give us the information and you know, give us the belief, and then the guys just come in and give us that jolt of energy, a few fresh ideas around the edges, and as I say, their passion for Tyrone just rubbed off on us, and I think we expressed that from Killarney onwards this year.
What about your style of play, Matty? Because there was a huge amount of focus on it over the championship, and I suppose just a lot of conversations about what you were trying to do, you know, to try and keep that defensive structure in place if you could, but yet at the same time attack with a little bit more freedom. Like, what were you saying in the camp? Like, what were you trying to achieve maybe that we on the outside didn't know?
I think since Toronto, the style, like, we have a lot of comfortable players, so there's a lot of fluidity and flexibility in our team and how we attack. You know, it's not too rigid, but obviously there is expectations on each player to look after their own position and win their own battles. But look, we have a lot of comfortable players. So the big area of focus for us after the Killarney game was, you know, tighten up the back door, tighten up the defence. That'll be the foundation. And I say we really did that. We really prided ourselves on that, and our work rate off the ball now, and on closing teams, and closing the route to goal. But as I mentioned earlier, the offensive plan, as our transition to the game, is still very good. I see a lot of gains to be made there, and the key in personnel, you know, the depth we have there, the likes of Cahill, the likes of Conor McKenna, and you know, Gareth and Mark Bailey, etc. Them boys come back into it. Darren, obviously playing a couple of his life. There's so much potential up top as well, which we probably haven't tapped into fully yet. So that's exciting, and I suppose that'll be the next layer of our approach, I would say.
You come off yesterday, and Cathal McShane goes on, and literally his first touch of the ball, he fists it into the back of the net. Are you sitting in the stand thinking, I wish I was there for another minute, that could have been me, or brilliant, we've got a goal?
No, I think that's the point of the switch, is Cahill is just a natural full forward, natural instinctive full forward, and I probably would have been run out the shit lane to receive that ball, whereas he made that, and you know, you see conversations with him and Connor, he made that cut back inside and he was there, whereas I mightn't have been there, and that's just Cahill again, another player is so happy for on Saturday, because the last 2 years with injuries and stuff, I've seen, you know, coming off the back of his All-Star year, I've seen what he's had to go through and the setbacks and the ups and downs, but what a teammate he's been and what a standard he set. And again, just full respect within the squad. But to see him again get rewarded there in the last two games was class to see.
Yeah, but you reference his injury, but you're a pretty serious one yourself. I mean, ripping your hamstring or your groin literally off the bone. I can imagine the pain of it, but that's a long recovery from that.
It is. And again, I haven't reflected too much on that journey yet, but it is something I'm proud of.
You haven't half. You mean to tell me for the 6 months you were recovering from that, you never reflected on it? You just sat there positively thinking not about the future every day of the week?
Yeah, look, that's not the way we be thinking. You're always thinking of the next session and how we can get to that. And look, it was at the time I digested what the injury was. It was serious. It did look like some of the feedback, but once I got my head around it, it was just I knew I would get back to that stage. And the reason I was so determined, like I would count myself so diligent in that regard. And the reason I was so determined was to share days like Saturday, and as I say, it just vindicates all that. And it was a big challenge for me at the time, and as I say, that's the reason I wanted to overcome it, was for days like Saturday.
We worked the effort by the looks of it.
Yeah, no, a lot of stuff being vindicated there.
And Matty, look, it's been such a strange time for everybody over the last 18 months or so, and you were hit with COVID in your camp, and it was a bit of a saga in the end because nobody knew what was going to happen once you had made the announcement on that Saturday that you wouldn't be able to fulfil the semi-final fixture. Were you worried that Croke Park were going to go ahead without you?
Definitely, I was a bit nervous, especially when the Trump statement came out. It was a strong stance. But the truth of the matter was we wouldn't have been in a position at that time to give a good account of ourselves, and you had to stand by that. But at the same time, you were just hoping that Croke Park would budge for you. And look, whilst we recovered well from that, there were still boys that maybe missed out even on 26 spots, who maybe got set back or got impacted by it. So like, it wasn't an ideal scenario. And again, like, that preparation for the Kerry game was, you know, it was far from ideal, but again, it just epitomised our mindset. Was just, look, next challenge, take it on, whoever's there will be there, and we know we trust everyone, and there was no pity or self-fulfilling prophecies made over the head of that whole saga. It was just, whoever's there will be up for the job.
Were you surprised that so much of the reaction was negative, Matty? There was a lot of people who questioned how genuine what was going on, what had happened with you guys.
No, not surprised. Not surprised. I suppose that's human nature. When something like that raises head, there's always going to be that element to it. There's always going to be, I suppose, people dubious or suspicious about it. And that is just human nature, and you have to deal with that. Again, we just worry about our own house control, and we've probably become accustomed to that over the years.
Matty, you're so close as a unit, and we saw that throughout this championship, but I think everybody that follows GAA will know just how tough Tyrone Club Football Championship can be. So when it starts, I think next weekend, what's it going to be like when you all come face to face?
It's going to be me, Gamey and Hamsey were just chatting about that. We're going to be knocking lumps out of each other in a few weeks, and that's just what we're used to. And I'd say myself and Paddy would cross paths a lot in the club scene. We always have to mark each other, and yeah, look, a lot of the respect within the squad is born from the club scene as well, because we come up against each other, we see what each other is like. We absolutely throw everything on the line for the club scene here, and it's something I watch a lot of club football throughout the country, and I think the Trum club scene in terms of intensity and passion is unmatched, and that's what we're all looking forward to now. And I suppose that's why it won't sink in probably until Christmas, because we're all going to have our club heads on after whenever the dust settles here in the next few days, for some, or a few weeks maybe.
There's confidence. Your shirt and Trillick are going to go all the way till Christmas anyway.
Well, the club scene in Tyrone, we still have eight league games to play, so either way we'll be going to Christmas, it looks like. But now we've a good squad there as well, but Tyrone football's the main field, and we'll have to get the bodies and the main draft for it very soon.
It definitely is. Matty, thank you so much for taking the call, and best wishes to Richie and to all of the family as well, and best of luck as well with the club scene over the next few months.
Thank you, Marie.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
My love.
I'll speak soon.
So the Ireland rugby match is now almost an hour on, and Ireland are still leading 7-3. They've just given away a penalty though, and they have also lost Stacey Flood, their number 10. She seemed to pull up after her last kick, so hopefully she will be okay. We're going to take a very quick break now, and then we're back with the Premier League.
Green Fern, have your dinner ready in a flash with Green Fern's high protein cooked chicken breast fillet, available in selected stores nationwide. Game on. GAA.
Now, so yesterday we were treated to a gripping All-Ireland Camogie final between Cork and Galway, with Galway sealing their second All-Ireland title in 3 years. I'm delighted now to be joined by Galway player Katrina Cormack. And Katrina, congratulations. Have you made it home yet?
Thanks so much, Marie. We're on the way. We're just currently in Athlone. So we've crossed to Shannon, and next stop then is into Galway. So we're looking forward to the homecoming when we get back.
I always think it's amazing it takes GA players so long to get from Dublin to wherever they're going. I mean, like, you could win the Grand National in Liverpool and be home that night. What takes you so long, like?
I know there had to be a few pit stops, but I know we're enjoying the route home as winners, I suppose. It'd be a different story if we hadn't been successful. So no, you it doesn't matter how long the day is when you're winning and enjoying, the crack is good.
Yeah, and that's for sure as well, because the thing about it, when you do get home, the reality sets in and you'll have to go back to work as well pretty quickly, so you might as well savour every single minute of it along the way.
Yeah, I was lucky enough now, they've given me a few days off, so I'm back in on Thursday, so I'll enjoy these next few days now. I suppose you don't, we haven't got to do anything like this, even go out together, have any social outing in a long, long time, so it's really, really special now, and we'll really cherish this one, because, you know, I suppose over everything that's happened the last year and a half, you really cherish these moments, so.
So what's the plan, Katrina, when you get back? Will you be able to go around to some of the clubs and to meet a few of the supporters and the fans and the family and friends and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we're hopeful anyway. So we're stopping in Sarah Durbin, our captain's club, Mullia, and then we're having a homecoming in Loughrea. So hopefully we'll be able to meet the fans and club mates and family and everything like that. So it made such a difference even yesterday, having supporters and family there. It was really, really special. I suppose it was a stark contrast to last year's All-Ireland, you know, when the stadium was so empty and so bleak, and when we lost, it was a very lonely place. So to have everyone there to celebrate with yesterday was just unbelievable.
I mean, if you're only going to get to Loughrea this evening, come back to work by Thursday. It's Thursday week, you should have booked it off until.
Yeah, it'll take me a while to get to Montpellier, so I had to take a few days more.
In fairness, the Mead footballers last week, they seemed to have a good old rattle at it. It was a good few days afterwards. I saw the Instagram videos were still going up. There was a lot going on, so they have set the bar in terms of celebration. But you really set the bar yesterday, Katrina, with the game. It was fantastic. And, you know, often we'll talk on a Monday after an All-Ireland Camogie final, and we won't be talking about the spectacle that it was. But yesterday's game, it really was gripping from start to finish. A great advertisement for the sport. So fair play to all of you involved. It must have been great to be part of that and to be playing in a game that was so good.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And I suppose I haven't watched it back yet, but everybody that I've talked to and, you know, people texting everything, they were just saying it was an absolutely unbelievable game. And definitely the last few years, the standard of the matches have just improved year on year. And I think, you know, the fan base is definitely getting bigger because the quality is so good. So it's great for women's sport, you know, that we're driving that benchmark and setting it even higher every year. So to be a part of that is really, really special.
Did you think Katrina, the changing of the camogie rules this year to allow physical contact helped the game? It looked it.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think so, because I suppose we're in the gym, you know, twice a week at least, you know, and the physical condition of players now is, you know, in the last few years has changed phenomenally, you know. So, like, you know, girls are so much stronger. They can take the tackles. So I think it definitely, the rules did need to be changed. And I think the spectacle has definitely benefited from the rule change, you know, 100%.
The words let it flow aren't being used as much anymore because the game is actually just more suitable to the players that are playing it. And it was just really brilliant yesterday. It was so close. So, Katrina, was there any stage where you thought, OK, we have this? Or was it right? Were you worried right to the end when the final whistle blew?
I suppose, yeah, you're always worried right at the end, and when there's only maybe, I suppose, the 2 points in it, so you know Cork were going to be trying to be going for goal, and then, you know, if they got that would be a point win for them. So it is very nerve-wracking. So Norma McGrath popped over them unbelievable points yesterday. You kind of took a sigh of relief when she put over the last one, but it was only when the final whistle blew that you could really, you know, celebrate. But yeah, there was nothing in it, you know, there really wasn't. It was a great contest and so close, and I suppose they got the goal, but thankfully we responded really, really well, and we drove on and got 2 points, I think, straight away. And then our goal, I thought, just came at a brilliant time, and I think we just pushed on then from there. And I think the last 10 minutes we just pushed on and kind of we won it in them few minutes.
I'd imagine as well you had an awful lot to draw from, because you've been in the situation where you've been in Croke Park in a losing dressing room and you don't want to go back there as well. But also when you look from the league right through the season, like, there was an awful lot of close encounters throughout it. There was an awful lot of tough tests. So you must have built up a really strong mentality from all of that combined.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes, you know, you do learn more from the losses than the wins, you know. I suppose that league final, when we sat down and looked at what we could improve on, you know, I think that laid a foundation for going forward. And I suppose even we probably weren't too happy with how we performed in the second half in the semi-final. So the last 2 weeks in training, we really upped it, and we knew ourselves, we had a good hard look at ourselves to see where we could improve. And, you know, I think we were just so lucky things clicked yesterday, and you know, it was a whole collective performance. I felt, you know, everyone from 1 to 20, you know, that came on, it was just, you know, 1 to 30 the panel, but, you know, I think it was 5 subs that were used, so the 20 players, it was a huge collective effort, you know. So it was just brilliant that it happened for us on the day, it all clicked.
You say those areas, you looked at the semi-final, the second half of the semi-final, that you wanted to improve on. What were those areas and what did you do that was different?
I suppose we probably felt maybe our work rate fell down in that second half, and the ball was maybe coming out quite easily from the back line, and they were getting good ball delivered into their forward line then and getting scores from it. So yesterday I just felt that, you know, I know it's a cliche, they say the defending starts from corner forward, but you know, it definitely worked for us yesterday, and the pressure that they put on the Cork backs to deliver the ball in, you know, it was massive. So the ball coming in on our side then wasn't perfect, so then we were able to intercept and then go on the attack again. So I just think our work rate probably went up definitely a few notches, and, you know, it paid dividends for us yesterday.
A lot of the focus leading into the final was whether or not Orla Cronin was going to play, and then we saw right at the death she got her red card overturned. There were 16 players in the parade, so there was a huge amount of, I guess it was a bit of a saga by the end of it, Katrina. Was that something that you're able to block out?
Yeah, to be honest, we all kind of said, listen, I bet she's going to get off. So we had it in our head she was going to be playing, to be honest. So we planned for that. And whatever happened on the day, but we kind of had it in our head that it's a likely chance she'll be playing. So we didn't let it affect us. We ploughed on with our plans and, you know, worked on our own, you know, our own tactics and that, but I suppose I kind of had a feeling that she was going to be, she would get off it, to be honest.
Just in terms of, look, everything that you've been through over the last while, Katrina, I know from yourself, like, losing the final was really difficult, but at that time you were someone that was working on the front line, you know, you're a GP, you were dealing with COVID head on. To, I'm sure there was a lot of sacrifices made on your part as well throughout the last couple of years, but to get over that line, it must make everything worthwhile.
Yeah, 100%. And definitely last year was very, very difficult. I remember coming up to that final, things were starting to get bad, and I suppose nobody was vaccinated. And, you know, what was in my head was parents and grandparents and vulnerable people and, you know, getting COVID, I suppose. So that was really what was, you know, in the back of my mind as well. So I remember just coming home from that All-Ireland, just wanted to go straight home and keep away from people, because I knew, I suppose, how rampant it was going to go. And then, unfortunately, we had quite a bad Christmas and January after that. But thankfully, things have turned around a lot. And with the vaccination now, it's a very brighter championship this year than last year. So yeah, it was really special, I suppose, with what happened, you know, with the year we had last year, and then to go on and win it this year was very, very special.
We hear of frontline workers being spoken about all the time, and everyone's opinion of how frontline someone can be varies, but you're very frontline as a GP. And through all of the pandemic, was sport an out for you to get away from the reality of where you were and what you were witnessing, the phone calls you were having to make, news you were having to deliver? Did sport help you deal with all of that, being part of the Camogie team?
Yeah, it did. It was really special. I suppose when I didn't have it, that's when I really realised how important it was to me. So I suppose that very first lockdown, you know, when it hit in March and when sport was completely gone, that's when you really realised, oh my God, I miss my teammates so much. Just that, you know, just turning up to train and getting a smile off someone, or someone cracking a joke in the dressing room, you know, you don't realise how much it lifts you. Or, you know, just if you've had a tough day in work, you know, everything's forgotten when you go out on the pitch and you know, you're with your teammates. So I suppose when I didn't have it, that's when I realised how important it was. So then to get back to it was really, really special, and I suppose I really, really cherished it then, and just really, really enjoyed it. And I've just really, really enjoyed sport since then, and just appreciated that every day that we can go out and play. When it was taken away from you, that's when you realise how important things are. So yeah, you just cherish these days.
Well, the good news, Katrina, is that your manager, Colm Murray, has said that you need to be winning back-to-back All-Irelands now to be talked about as a really great team. So he's already set the bar for next year.
Yeah, he has. He said that to us in the dressing room yesterday, but I suppose we'll enjoy this one now, and next year's a long way off yet. So, but I know, yeah, I know what he means. Yeah, like, I suppose we've been delighted the last, to be in three All-Irelands the last 3 years and to win two of them. Two out of three ain't bad, as they say. So, you know, I'm very, very happy with that. But, yeah, to push on and win another one would be, you know, a great, great team. So, yeah, it'd be lovely to do it, but I suppose it's a long way off, yes.
Did any of you spill the beans? Well, spill the beans now. Did any of you say, Carl, give it a rest now for a week? We'll talk to you Monday week now about next year. Or did you just all stand there and listen to him?
I know, we laughed at him. So a few gave him an answer too back, but I know. We understood where he was coming from, definitely. But yeah, in fairness, he wants us to enjoy this now, and he'll let us off and enjoy it and cherish these moments.
Okay, well, Katrina, do enjoy it, cherish these moments, because you know exactly how hard it is to go out there and win an All-Ireland title. Thank you so much for talking to us. Congrats on yesterday, and we wish you the best over the next few months.
Well, thanks so much, Ray and Ruby. Thank you.
Mount Bellew by about 4 the week.
Yeah. Game on. GAA.
Game on 2FM. With Green Firm. Get back on track after summer with Green Firm's high protein cooked chicken breast fillet range. Available in selected stores nationwide. 2.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back to Game On. It's time to talk Premier League. And after four games, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has Man United back on top, Alan Colley. You want rid of the man, and he has them on top.
You did say, to be fair, after four games, they would be top. Obviously, they suffered a little setback against Southampton, but little did we know 2 weeks ago, Ruby, that the man himself would be back in the building, and that's exactly what's happened. And I watched the match on Saturday, like so many others. I think it was a global record or something I was reading today, but I haven't heard Old Trafford and the noise like that probably since the last time they won the league. It was absolutely incredible. And I suppose just in terms of all the debate and discussion that has broken out about the Ronaldo signing, even for that alone, in terms of the way Old Trafford was and the lift it's given everybody, it was absolutely phenomenal. And then, of course, the performance that he puts in, the goals that he scores, and the goal as well, even the first one, like many people I think it was only a tap-in, but the fact that he was anticipating before Greenwood even took the shot, when all the Newcastle defenders are left flat-footed, just goes to show the brilliance of the man, that these goals and the amount that he scores are by no means a fluke. And then the second goal as well, people saying at 36, has he lost the yard of pace? Anything, but he was running away from Isaac Hayden. If anything, I know the goalkeeper should have saved it, but the question now, I suppose, Ruby, is he enough to take them towards the league? But certainly from what I saw on Saturday, he definitely gives them a far better chance. I would still worry, though, slightly about the point I made a couple of weeks back with Pogba and Matic. I know Pogba's good going forward, and he said, I think he has 7 assists. Just Matic, because the amount of chances Newcastle even had on the counter-attack and against better opposition, they might come a little bit unstuck, United, in that regard. But certainly in terms of Ronaldo, it was phenomenal, the opening.
And Steven, Bruno Fernandes wasn't going to be left out of the show either, was he? That was some goal he got.
Oh, unbelievable strike. And like I said, it's like both of them going at it now. Maybe they're going to be competing against each other. This is the biggest star for Portugal, for Manchester United. But no, it's just, for Fernandes, he's different for United than he has been for Portugal. And you watch him, he's kind of, you know, we've watched him against Ireland, and he just doesn't produce. But for United, he always seems to produce. He's always in and around the goals. He's a quality player. And when he gets into those final thirds, but the strike from him was just sensational. And, you know, Man United are well on their way.
Well, we have an update on the Ireland-Spain game in Italy. Spain have scored a try. They've just missed the conversion, but they are leading Ireland 8-7. Alan, I think there was probably a lot of questions about whether or not Ronaldo and Fernandes could play together, but they seem to play well together anyway at the weekend. But the one that you mentioned is Paul Pogba. News broke a little bit earlier that he is open to signing a new contract. He's been encouraged by the big signings over the summer, like Ronaldo, Varane and Sancho. Do you think that he should stay? Would you be happy for him to stay now at this stage?
If he applies himself correctly, Marie, of course they would want him to stay. And I think, to be fair to him, in the last few, probably 3, 4, 5 months, is probably the best we've seen of him. And of course, with the addition of Ronaldo and those players that you said, why wouldn't he want to stay? But if they are getting the best out of him, and I say, and he is applying himself correctly, I think because of there's so many attacking options now, everyone used to say, and this was the thing that used to break out with Souness in terms of where is best to play him, because he's a liability when he plays as a two in the midfield because he's not disciplined enough, and everybody you see has to play wide on the left of a three. He can't play there now because there's so many options. So I think Solskjaer is forced into the fact that he has to play him as the central midfielder alongside whoever it be, Matic, Fred, McTominay, just to get the others in up the top end of the pitch. So if he remains disciplined, applies himself correctly, and I still think you need to get a proper partner there beside him. It's just a pity McTominay is injured at the moment, because I'd like to see him maybe in that position. I think he'd be disciplined enough to play in that role, and he'd have the legs as well to do it. But yeah, I think it's probably purely down to the fact that Ronaldo and Varane and all that have them signed, Marie. I would have sold him a long time ago, but the fact that he's producing the goods now, maybe
Andy the sack Solskjaer, give it up.
Stephen, what about the fact as well that Ronaldo said he was nervous? So I found this absolutely fascinating. I was talking to Ruby about it a little bit earlier on, that he said before the game that he was nervous, just given everything that we know about Ronaldo and how much that, like, he seems like the type of character that would just relish the big occasion, be like, bring it on, I'm going to show everyone how good I am. But it seems that wasn't the case.
Are you not nervous coming on the shows here every night?
Not anymore.
No?
Maybe the first couple of times.
Nervous,
yeah,
a good
yeah.
Wrong answer, Marie. Wrong answer.
Yeah.
You should have admitted to some bit of pressure or nerves, or else it means nothing to you.
Well, I have you here with me, Ruby. I'm more nervous about Ruby than I am about anything else that goes on.
What's he going to say?
I still think it just shows you, know how high regard he has for United. But I think for any top player, they have some level of nervousness or anticipation going into a game, because it keeps you on your toes, it keeps you edgy, it keeps you in it. And I think that can be a good thing. Like Alan said and Ruby said, you've got every event you go into, if you're a little bit apprehensive about it, but then your first touch, wherever it gets you into the game. But you know, for Ronaldo, he's someone that just always produces. And I just think if he's nervous, then he must be nervous going into every game, and that just must be an amazing thing for him, because you know, the level of performance he puts in on such a regular occasion is just out of this world. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. And it's just, honestly, words can't describe this guy. He's just absolutely, he's just a phenomenon.
I'd agree. If you're not nervous, means there's no excitement. There has to be excitement. There's something you're anticipating that you're looking forward to, and that's where the nerves come from. But moving away from United and across the Pennines, Liverpool gave Leeds a fair thumping, didn't they?
They did, Ruby, yeah. I watched the match and I felt Liverpool were really impressive, to be fair. I know Leeds were poor on the day and they're very open. I'd be worried about Leeds at the moment, because the one thing we always mention with Leeds is they can either win 3-0 or lose 5-0, and it's boom or bust with them. But the start they've had to the season has been very, very poor, and they were just wide open. Liverpool tore them to shreds yesterday. Had they taken their chances, it would have been 5 or 6. But from a Liverpool's aspect and Liverpool's point of view, I think you just see now with the run of games, Van Dijk is getting Matip. They look very, very strong defensively, the goalkeeper. And we always made the point, well, I certainly did anyway, when they have their full complement of players, I still think they're a match for anybody. And what I've kind of noticed over the weekend as well with the teams, the top four that we suggested are miles ahead of the rest, but I think between those top four it's fairly close and it'll be competitive amongst those, so I think we're in for a really good season.
Stephen, what I noticed about Liverpool was that, okay, they did have a lot of their players last year, as in their players up top, but they didn't look like they were firing in all cylinders, and I think Mane was probably one that definitely looked like he was a little bit drained. I think there was a COVID came into play there as well, but when you saw him and just the amount of shots that he had more than the entire Leeds team put together. He's just looking like he's back to his best, that kind of powerful, the powerful runs that you'd associate with him, they're all back. He's looking a lot more dangerous, getting into the right positions.
It's their movement, their front three's movement. They move so well off the ball, but at such pace as well. And that's what they have in abundance. And the clever runs from Salah, Jota, when they're running with the ball, you always see Mane, he's going in front of the man, he's going behind the man. You know, they make their, as a defender, if you had those three and they throw, you know, if you throw Fabinho into that as well, those players moving off his shoulder, always on the, with the pace they have and the cleverness, you know. And the thing is that Fabinho in the middle offers them that security as well, so I think they feel more encouragement in the forward areas. They feel like they got that safety net, and I think he was excellent as well. But I think Liverpool, they do, if they have their full complement of players and Van Dijk in the squad, you know, they're a match for anybody.
But Alan, we did see how it can go pretty wrong as well. Harvey Elliott was stretchered off the pitch and what looked a pretty nasty injury.
Yeah, horrible for the young lad, Ruby. He's only after breaking into the team as well, and there was so much hope for this boy. He's had a great start to the season, and it's just really unfortunate. To be fair to the lad's strike, when I was watching it in real play, I actually thought it was a good tackle. I didn't see any of the replays back, and I know Sky didn't show any replays, and I don't want to see any replays. I think it was just an unfortunate incident. I don't think the lad went to do him or anything like that at all, and it's just a pity that Harvey Elliott has come out on the wrong side of it, but he'll be back. He's still only 18. He'll get the best of treatment, and he'll be back in no time.
Chelsea and Aston Villa, we spoke about Chelsea quite a lot, Stephen, in the run into this season. Alan Cawley actually probably tipped them again, to win the league.
Yep.
We saw Lukaku. Does he look like he's a difference now between what they were capable of last season and this season? The fact that he actually only had 25 touches and he managed to score 2 goals. They were creating the chances last season, Stephen, but they weren't able to convert. But he seems to be bringing just something completely different.
Oh, he absolutely is a difference. He's come back to the Premier League almost, you don't want to say complete cycle, but not far off it. His hold of play, his movement off the ball again, his touch, you know, he worries you if you're a defender because you don't want to get too tight to him because he's so strong. But then, you know, he's got such pace to burn as well, and his goals he took so well. You know, the movement for his first goal, the run off the shoulder, and then to chop back inside onto his what would be his predominantly his weaker foot and put it through the goalkeeper, sensational. And then the second one, his first touch wasn't great, but again his movement was wonderful. He went to go across the defender, then kept his run, checked it back, and then smashed it in the top corner. But you know, Chelsea were lacking that, and even their own manager last season was talking about, you know, 80 metres of pitch, they're so good up into that final third. Now they've got someone who they can rely on, can link play, and you know, it just puts them in a really strong position.
Alan, it's 3-0 a fair reflection of that game. I thought Villa were wasteful, they had more shots and could have got a couple of goals.
Ruby, I'm so glad you brought that up, because as Stephen was talking there, I wasn't sure we were going to move on to another match, and I watched Chelsea and Villa and the highlights as well, and Villa, honestly, they created so many chances. And the question Marie asked was, is Lukaku the difference? Absolutely, because if they didn't have him, they would have drawn the match or lost the game, because the goalkeeper was brilliant on the day. Last year, you think of Abraham up front or Giroud or Timo Werner and them not taking those chances, but the difference is obviously Lukaku now. But certainly I would agree, Ruby, I don't think 3-0 was a correct scoreline in terms of the performance that Villa put in as well, and it was a bit hard on them. But I definitely think Chelsea going forward are only going to get stronger as well.
And likewise, Stephen, Man City were 1-0 winners over Leicester, but that could have been a draw too.
Yeah, it could have been that opportunity. Vardy's one taken away by VAR and offside. And then the cross as well to Barnes, which he just heads over, hits the crossbar. You know, it was an unbelievable chance for them to go level. But Bernardo Silva looked like a man on a mission. He was in pockets, finding the space, doing really well. But that's the difference. You have quality players in the final third, and you know Leicester will be thereabouts. You know, I think they'll struggle into the top four with the way these teams are playing. But City, Bernardo Silva steps up and puts a great finish away. They had a couple of opportunities before. Cancelo hit one as well. But for me, City were probably on top. But that Vardy chance for Barnes was the one that went astray.
And of course, Palace thumped Spurs.
Palace, yeah, and the goal as well. Sorry, Ruby, just that Man City moment. They were lucky as well with the goal, Bernardo Silva. But if you go back to the international matches last week, and I know Bernardo Silva was poor last season, but he was absolutely brilliant for Portugal in the two games in the window. And you look at him for City at the moment as well. He's absolutely flying this year, and he could have a really big season. Spurs, yeah, were absolutely dreadful at the weekend. But to be fair to Palace. The ground is unreal, and there's a brilliant documentary, Ruby. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's on. What is it on Amazon? When Eagles there, get a chance to watch it. It's absolutely fantastic. And I have a real soft spot after watching that documentary of Palace as well. And the noise they created, it was brilliant at the weekend. And they were good value for the win as well, even though Tanganga got sent off, a moment of madness from him. But once he got sent off, Palace took over. And odd St. Edward getting off to a great start in his Palace career.
Okay, well, it is disappointment for Ireland in the Women's World Cup qualifier game. They have lost 8-7 to Spain, a real famous win for Spain. They had a penalty right at the death, but unfortunately, Breen kicked it and it dropped short. I did mention Stacey Flood, their usual number 10, going off, injured a little bit earlier, and that obviously was a huge blow for them. But that is all we have time for. Alan Cawley, thank you so much for coming into studio. Stephen, thank you as well. Myself and Ruby will be back tomorrow. Tara Coomer is up next. 2FM.
Game on 2FM with Green Farm. Healthy dinners made easy with Green Farm's high protein cooked chicken breast fillets range. Available in selected stores nationwide. 2